The verdict is in for the guys who brought you the shampoo ban. Eads announces further restructuring to get Airbus profitable. And Emirates grounds its A380 over an electrical problem. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 10th, 2008. A British jury has convicted only three of eight alleged conspirators in the foiled August 2006 terror plot against Transatlantic Airlines. If you recall, this is the case that you can thank for bringing us the ban on liquids and gels in your carry-on. The Los Angeles Times reports the jury returned guilty verdicts against 27-year-old Abdullah Ahmed Ali, 28-year-old Assad Sarwar, and 27-year-old Tanvir Hussain, all charged with conspiracy to commit murder. All three are British citizens of Pakistani descent. The jury failed to convict four other defendants, although they remain jailed on other charges. While officials welcomed the guilty verdicts, they expressed shock and anger that the jury was not swayed by what appeared to be overwhelming evidence against all eight members of the clandestine terror cell, suspected of planning attacks on as many as seven airliners bound for the U.S. from Britain. That evidence included copies of martyrdom videos made by all but one of the defendants, which resembled the farewell messages to family often recorded by Muslim suicide bombers, and taped discussions of ways to bypass airport security. The defendants asserted they only planned to set off harmless devices as a protest against the so-called mistreatment of Muslims. One unnamed counterterrorism official told The Times the jury's acceptance of that explanation was disgusting. Quote, "When you are physically watching young Muslims known to be extremists recording suicide videos, there comes a point in a plot when you have to interfere and run with what evidence you can get," unquote. 27-year-old accused ringleader Mohammed Gulzar was acquitted of all charges, largely because he was the only one of the eight who had not recorded a video. Prosecutors are reportedly considering new trials against the other seven. Eads appears to be betting a weak U.S. dollar will remain a problem for its Airbus division through at least 2012. Its union workforce isn't likely to be happy with its response. Reuters reports that the Airbus Power 8 restructuring plan, which is planned to produce over 2 billion euros in annual cost savings by 2010, will be taken further in an attempt to save another 650 million by 2012. The new plan, called Power 8 Plus, includes plans to build aircraft parts in Tunisia to save costs. Airbus is trying to stay competitive with Boeing, which regained the worldwide lead in new aircraft orders in 2007. Both manufacturers have seen weaker sales since the start of this year, but both also enjoy record order backlogs. Boeing's manufacturing costs are held in check by a falling dollar, while Airbus watches its costs rise and its products become more expensive. The idea to manufacture in Tunisia originated with French Airbus supplier Latécoère, which makes aircraft doors and other parts. The company had hoped to buy two Airbus plants in France back in the spring and operate them in conjunction with a new plant in Tunisia. When the capital markets dried up, the plan was scuttled. Eads chief executive Louis Galois told the newspaper Le Monde that Airbus liked the plan enough to build the new Tunisian plant itself. Quote, "Airbus will take over Latécoère's proposal to set up in Tunisia to make ordinary parts and invest in more sophisticated production in France, especially for composites. We'll do the same in Germany and Spain," unquote. The company has moved to assure its unions that there will be no additional job cuts in Europe, where 10,000 employees and contractors are already slated for furlough. The stock markets liked the announcement. Eads shares closed up over 2% on the Paris Exchange yesterday. The Airbus A380 was nearly 2 years late in reaching market, due in large part to problems integrating wiring harnesses designed in France and Germany. In an unwelcome irony, Emirates has reportedly taken its first A380 offline to work on an electrical fault. An airline spokesman says the problem was discovered at the end of a training mission. The International Herald Tribune reports the plane, which entered service July 1st and has been serving the airline's New York route, is scheduled to be back in service this weekend, but reduced from three flights per week to two to accommodate engineering and training needs. Airbus announced earlier this month it will be late in delivering Emirates' second A380, but remains confident it can meet its goal of delivering 12 aircraft to customers this year. Emirates is using a Boeing 777-300ER temporarily to fill in on its New York to Dubai route. Boston-based investment banker and competitive sailor Andrew Nelson has joined X-Corp Aerospace of Mojave, California as chief operating officer. Nelson recently left a banking and aerospace consulting career to return to his high-tech roots, which include a first job as an engineer with Pan Am World Services at Cape Canaveral. He earlier earned a BSEE at Ohio University and his MBA at MIT's Sloan School of Management. X-Corps CEO and co-founder Jeff Grayson calls Nelson a good fit. Nelson comments, quote, "Success on Wall Street depends on finding opportunities and solutions for our clients before anyone else does. You have to examine technology and developments for critical needs. Then you must determine which firm is best poised to take advantage of the opportunities created by these market changes. X-Corps has such a team," unquote. Nelson cites studies that say the market for suborbital space tourism, scientific research, commercial and government markets will approach $1.2 billion by 2012. He also notes that the demonstration of the X-Corps engine on the rocket racer at Oshkosh this year demonstrated something important. Quote, "The spectators not only got a good show, they witnessed the result of the meticulous, safety-focused planning and contingency analysis that go into every X-Corps operation. This approach is being followed in the quest to build and operate our third-generation X-Corps craft, the Lynx, which will safely take people up to the edge of space and back up to four times a day," unquote. Up next on ANN, Alaska Airlines installs Honeywell's runway advisory system fleet-wide. Massachusetts gets serious about attracting air service to Worcester. And a student pilot lands a DA-20 short of a runway in Colorado. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Alaska Airlines says it'll be the first major U.S. passenger carrier to equip its entire fleet with new technology designed to prevent accidents on runways and taxiways. The Runway Awareness and Advisory System, or RAS, was developed by Honeywell in 2003. It gives pilots audible alerts when they approach and enter taxiways and runways, helps ensure pilots are on the correct runway with enough distance to complete a takeoff, and provides an audible warning if a pilot inadvertently accelerates for takeoff on a taxiway. Runway incursions are widely acknowledged as one of the industry's biggest safety issues, and Alaska Airlines points out it flies to some of the most desolate locations in the U.S. Alaska began installing RAS on its Boeing 737s in July, after working with Honeywell to make sure the technology met the carrier's specific operational needs. The airline's entire fleet will be equipped by the end of this month. Alaska is also the only U.S.-based airline whose entire fleet is equipped to fly required navigation performance arrivals and departures, which are now authorized at 19 U.S. airports. The state of Massachusetts has tried since 2006 to lure a new commercial airline to Worcester Regional Airport, about 45 miles west of Boston. Now, the state's transportation authority, Massport, is providing a financial incentive. Direct Air is a charter operator based in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The company is slated to begin scheduled operations from Worcester November 22nd. Service will start with three nonstops per week to Orlando Sanford International and another three to Charlotte County Airport in Punta Gorda, Florida. Punta Gorda lost commercial service when Skybus went Tango Uniform back in April. The Boston Herald reports Massport has agreed to waive all landing, jet bridge, and terminal fees for Direct Air for 2 years to help the upstart service establish a foothold. The city of Worcester and Massport will also kick in up to $300,000 in federal grant money to promote the carrier's service to Florida. Direct Air will use two 150-seat Airbus A320s leased from Virgin America to fly those routes, and they'll also be operated by Virgin America crews. Airfares start at $99 one way, with first-class seats available for a $100 upgrade. Direct Air plans to start similar service from Kalamazoo, Michigan, November 29th. The feds are helping, too. In June, the U.S. Department of Transportation authorized $3.5 million in grants for runway improvements and expanded highway access from Route 146 to make the airport more attractive to travelers.
A flight instructor and student pilot were injured late Monday morning when their Diamond DA-20C-1 crashed short of the runway while landing at Pueblo Memorial Airport in Colorado. The Pueblo Chieftain reports the student was practicing touch-and-goes when he landed the aircraft short of the runway threshold and tumbled down a ravine. The plane came to rest inverted on its forward-opening canopy. The student pilot was able to free himself from the plane, but rescue workers needed more than 30 minutes to remove the wing, engine, and firewall so the trapped instructor could be extricated. The identities of the two men weren't immediately released, and their conditions were not disclosed as of yesterday morning. The aircraft was owned by Doss Aviation Colorado Springs, which won a contract in March 2006 to provide ab initio training to cadets at the U.S. Air Force Academy. The FAA will be joined in the investigation by the U.S. Air Force. The Coast Guard Foundation announced on Monday it has established an Emergency Family Disaster Relief Fund in response to the September 4th crash of a Coast Guard Dolphin helicopter off the coast of Honolulu. The foundation is asking for financial support to assist the families of the lost crew. If you'd like to help, you can call the foundation at area code 860-535-0786. Be sure to specifically direct your contribution to the Family Disaster Relief Fund. The Coast Guard Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit founded in 1969. It was initially created to provide funds for academic, athletic, and morale needs of the Coast Guard Academy and its cadets, but expanded its charter in 1986 to support projects that enhance the education, welfare, and morale of all Coast Guard members and their families. Still ahead, NTSB says a pilot had an overloaded plane and got it too slow. Sikorsky announces yet another first flight. And NASA celebrates its 50th anniversary with 46 years of space art. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. The National Transportation Safety Board has released its probable cause report in the August 2007 crash of a 2005 Lancair Columbia 400 at Kern Valley Airport in Kernville, California. The board has ruled the pilot did not maintain control of the plane and did not maintain adequate airspeed during the landing attempt. The board says its investigation also confirmed the plane was over its rated maximum gross weight. As ANN reported, the aircraft stalled as it maneuvered in the pattern to land on Kern Valley's 3,500-foot runway. Pilot Adam Pissori aborted his first landing attempt. Witnesses said the plane then fell nose low as it turned base for a second attempt to land on runway 35 and caught fire on impact. The Bakersfield Californian reported Pissori, his wife, his brother and sister, a 2-year-old niece and a 2-month-old nephew all died in that crash. Note the 400 is a 4-seat aircraft. The board estimates the plane departed Santa Monica 65 pounds over its maximum takeoff weight and was 83 pounds over its maximum landing weight at the time of the accident. NTSB noted the plane was never outside its CG envelope. Investigators found no anomalies with the airframe and noted the plane's speed brakes were retracted. Pissori held a private airplane single-engine land certificate with instrument rating, had a current second-class medical, and had logged a total of 789 hours, with 214 hours in type. Sikorsky Helicopter is making news pretty often lately. The company recently announced the first flights of its X-2 technology demonstrator and the UH-60M upgrade Black Hawk. On Monday, Sikorsky said it recently completed a first flight with its Naval Hawk S-70B helicopter. That helo is based on the S-70 Seahawk and was built at the Sikorsky Hawk Works at Schweitzer Aircraft. The first flight was made on August 28th. The aircraft itself is expected to be delivered to an undisclosed international military customer in the first quarter of next year after an engineering flight test program. Sikorsky's Military Derivatives Completion Center, or MDDC, has been branded by Sikorsky as the Hawk Works and is the primary completion center for Sikorsky's military helicopter derivatives. Hawk Works General Manager Randy Simpson commented, quote, "This is a very exciting and busy time here. We've been eagerly awaiting our first flight and look forward to many more milestones," unquote.
To celebrate NASA's 50th anniversary in October, the agency is releasing the book NASA Art, 50 Years of Exploration. The book is a historic collection of almost a half century of space-inspired artwork. In 1962, 4 years after NASA was formed, Administrator James Webb recognized that space exploration would make a profound cultural impact, in addition to advancing science and technology. He established the NASA Art Program to commission pieces from prominent artists that would illustrate and interpret the space agency's missions. Since that time, the art program has enjoyed participation of Robert Rauschenberg, Norman Rockwell, James Wyeth, Nam June Paik, Patti LaBelle, William Wegman, Mike and Doug Starn, and Annie Leibovitz. Bert Ulrich, the program's curator at NASA headquarters in Washington, notes, quote, "Through the NASA Art Program, artists have been given an inside glimpse into the missions and programs which make up the space agency. Through their imaginations, artists have shared an entirely new interpretation of the NASA story with the public," unquote. The book is published by Harry N. Abrams, Incorporated of New York, and will be available in October. NASA Art, 50 Years of Exploration, features 150 full-color illustrations with essays by astronaut Michael Collins, curator Tom D. Crouch, and novelist Ray Bradbury. And finally, we all bring home souvenirs from Oshkosh. EAA member and perennial AirVenture attendee Greg Thompson of Fairfax, Virginia, couldn't make it to the event this year due to business conflicts, but he still wound up with an awesome souvenir. As he does every year, Thompson entered the EAA Share the Spirit sweepstakes using the entry coupons received in Sport Aviation. This year's grand prize was a new Cirrus SR20. Thompson won the sweepstakes and last Wednesday was at Cirrus headquarters in Duluth to pick up his new airplane. He told EAA, quote, "I'm still quite dumbfounded about it. I never in my wildest dreams expected to win," unquote. On Sunday night, August 3rd, the closing day of AirVenture, Thompson got a call from a friend who had just seen the list of sweepstakes winners drawn earlier in the day on the AirVenture website. His first thought was that it had to be someone else with the same name, but when the friend read back Thompson's EAA number, he realized it was him. About 20 minutes later, he got a call from EAA confirming that the winning ticket drawn from that big cement mixer, which served as the official entry bin, was indeed his. EAA says Thompson earned his private certificate about 5 years ago, but only started flying regularly recently and was shopping for a used plane. Thompson said his sweepstakes entry was not just about the grand prize. Quote, "We feel that the EAA and the Young Eagles program are fabulous, and so we're always glad to support them. Entering the sweepstakes was simply another opportunity to do so," unquote. Thompson is now receiving transition training at Cirrus and then plans to fly with his instructor back to Virginia over the weekend. He's already made a long cross country from Duluth, Minnesota to Oshkosh and back. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. This past weekend, I got the chance to spend a few minutes with Larry Neal, who's actually brought a fly drive vehicle to market at an affordable price. You'll get to hear our chat today. We'll talk about Larry's background, the Super Sky Cycle, and what he sees looking forward. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.